Learning to hear God's word without condemnation, part two. I'm not going to even read all the text. I'm going to read a few of the opening verses to get the concept and pick out a couple, and then we're going to jump right in. 8:1. All the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. It had not been read for years. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what was heard, on the first day of the seventh month, and he read from it, facing the square before the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men, the women, and all who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Jump down to 8. They read from the book of the law clearly, and they gave the sense, so the people understood the reading, and Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, "This is the day holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people wept as they heard the words of the law." Then he said to them, 10, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink sweet wine, send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to the Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." 18. And day by day, from the first day to the last day, he read from the book of the law. They kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day there was a solemn assembly according to the rule. We looked at one point last week. We're going to look at one point tonight. And the notes, I don't know, I'm actually redoing it as I go. So the point from last week was the restructuring of anything, these delivered people now reordering their lives as the city walls have been completed, the reordering of any of the structures that need rebuilding in our lives as we follow Christ, the starting point for all of that is the Word of God. In other words, deliverance can only be sustained with fresh dedication, fresh application, fresh commitment to the Word of God. Determine that in 2014 you're going to read your Bible right through cover to cover. You can do it. I did it this year. You can do it with about 25 minutes of reading a day. You can get right through your whole Bible in the year. It's one thing to pray for God to bless and help and free up your life. It's another thing to recognize all of it comes through the Word. Commit to the Word. The first thing this delivered people do, Nehemiah says, read the Word of God. What they had, read it to the people. All right, that's where we went last week. One point this week. The one point this week is, as they read, they are recognizing that the people are weeping. I took the time to read that one verse. There's a brokenness as they read the Word of God. And Nehemiah and Ezra recognize that something is wrong. The point to ponder this week, the second point, one of the most important lessons a redeemed soul can learn is to hear the word of the Lord without condemnation. It's surprising, really. You would think Ezra and Nehemiah, after the carelessness of the people was what led to their captivity in the first place, you would think Ezra, Nehemiah, the Levites, would be relatively pleased that as the word of the Lord was read, the people were weeping in brokenness. You would think that they would watch the people's response and say, as I would have said, obviously the Holy Spirit's moving here. Right? These people, they hear the word of God and they're just on their face weeping for their sins. And strangely, Ezra and Nehemiah are both wise enough leaders to know that this isn't just repentance, which is a good thing. This isn't just conviction, which is a good thing. This isn't just brokenness, which is a good thing. They're wise enough to see that what they're looking at in the people is condemnation and hopelessness. In other words, as they watch the people, Nehemiah and Ezra become aware. And that's why they say, no, this isn't the response. This word is your life. Sure, you've sinned. There is a place for conviction. There is a place for repentance. But there is no place for hopelessness. They're wise enough to see that what's happening among the people is they're hearing the word, not just with conviction, but with condemnation. I want to talk to you about the goal of God's word in your life and mine. I'm not talking just about the entry point of the word, which can come. The sword of the Spirit sometimes cuts. It's sharp. And it slices out all sorts of things that don't belong in our life. I'm not talking about how it comes in. I'm talking about the goal of that process. These people hadn't been exposed to the word for a long time. And as they hear, there's that sense of just, God doesn't want anything to do with us anymore. There's sorrow, there's weeping, they moan, they groan. We know what that's like. You read God's word, you hear God's word. It's not a bad thing. You hear God's word and you say, I've done that. I've said things like that. I've lost my temper like that. I have failed to love God like that. I've sinned just like those people. No wonder they end up on their knees. And Ezra and Nehemiah say, wait a minute. This is not where God is trying to take us right now. There's a difference between brokenness and hopelessness. There's a difference between being convicted and being immobilized. So here's what I'm saying tonight. Don't receive the word lightly. Do let it speak to your heart at a deep level. But one of the most important things every maturing Christian needs to learn is the arrival at a responsive frame of mind when you approach God's word. The arrival at a responsive frame of mind when you approach God's word. I know we need to confess our sins. You can't read the Bible without seeing it. 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16 and 17. I preached a whole series of messages. They're online. Producing biblical change. Paul writes to Timothy, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Then he says, all scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, reproof. There's reproof, correction, training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Or Psalm 139, 23, 24, search me, O God. We used to sing that chorus. Remember? Search me, O God. Remember that? And know my heart, I pray. Try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. What I'm talking about is people who know the first part of the verse. Search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, see if there be any grievous way in me. And I know all those words are powerfully true, but I also know that the last phrase of those verses, that's the part that needs to be quickened in our hearts if we're ever going to embrace what God is saying to us in His Word, and lead me in the way everlasting. Because it's not just about making me feel lousy for my sins. It's about God's capacity to take my life and bring it on an everlasting way, a way that opens into deeper, fuller, richer life. But I won't see that if I don't get past the phase of, I'm no good. I'm amazed in my own mental wording of those verses from the Psalm, how quickly I go through, search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, see if there be any grievous way in me, and never get to that last phrase, lead me in the way everlasting. This isn't just hair splitting, church. It is so natural for all of us to miss the heart of God when He starts to deal with our sins by the sword of the Spirit. When He speaks to me about my sin, it's never with the intent merely of condemning me for my sin. We should know that at this Christmas season. Everybody knows, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life, or everlasting in the King James. Everybody knows that. Not many people quote the next verse. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. John 3:16 is important because it tells us why Jesus came that first Christmas. John 3:17 is important because it tells us why Jesus didn't come that first Christmas. He didn't come to condemn you. He knows all about your sin. He knows all about your weakness. He calls you to deal with it honestly and to bring it to the cross. And I just have a feeling that the way Satan works in our lives, the only time Satan cares about our holiness is when he can rub our noses in our own sin to the point that we don't even look to the cross with hope anymore. Do you know anybody like that? Just broken and feeling that there is no use in even trying anymore. And it's because they might have had the experience in a church or through the Word where their sin has been exposed, they've been cut to the quick, but they never did realize what God wanted to do was put them on the way everlasting. Ezra and Nehemiah, don't just sit here and weep, people. We are so blessed that we have the Word again. We're so blessed to have it read. We're so blessed to have it explained. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You maybe had the experience in the last month. God deals with your soul about that impure thought, that caving into greed, that betrayal of your first love, that unkind word, that loss of temper, that promise not kept. And God speaks to your heart. Now, right there, you pause and you say, now, why is he talking to me about this sin? Because if you think that it's to make you feel lousy, you're not going to serve a God like that for very long. If when he speaks, what you see is he wants to lead me in the way everlasting. The way you hear God speak will change dramatically depending on what view you have. The understanding of God's purpose brings joy and strength to your pursuit of holiness. Isn't it interesting? Nehemiah, Ezra, the people weep for their sin, and they stop them and they say, you know what? This is a great time to break your diet. Have some cake. Celebrate the grace that comes along with the Word. Do take sin seriously. But always remember that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And all God's thankful sinners said,